Luke, the 15th chapter. We'll read together the first three verses. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to listen to him, and both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying... Now, by the way, some people grumble at anything, don't they? Like the lady I heard about who had a husband she could never please. So one day, got up for breakfast. And she said, "Honey, how many eggs do you want for breakfast?" And he just very grouchily said, "Three." So this time she thought she'd please him for sure. She fried one, scrambled the second, and boiled the third. After they were put before him, he grumbled and said, "Just as I thought, she fried the wrong egg." Well, the Pharisees were just like that, by the way. They were always grumbling at Jesus. Now, my friend, if you can be a grouch around Jesus, you're a grouch. And our Lord was doing what he came to do, loving people who needed to be loved. He was with tax collectors. They need a lot of love. I don't know too many IRS people. I've got too many friends. Do you? And he was with sinners. Sinners need a Savior. But the Pharisees, good church folks all. The ministerial alliance was grumbling against Jesus. So Jesus wants to tell them a story. They're mad at him because he's eating with the outcasts of society. They belong to the country club and Jesus is down on Skid Row. And they're upset about it. So Jesus tells them a parable. And I want you to look at verse 3. And he told them this parable, saying... I know that you're all students of the New Testament. And in this 15th chapter of Luke, there's the story of a lost sheep, the story of a lost coin, and the story of a lost boy. We intend to think that these are three parables. But I want you to notice what the word says. And Jesus told them this parable, saying... Singular. It's one story with three illustrative parts. And the point of this parable, Jesus wants to teach the Pharisees how God feels about lost people. He wants them to know what it means to be lost. In fact, nine times in this one chapter, Jesus uses the word lost. And he uses this word lost as sort of the all-inclusive word to describe man without the forgiveness of God. It's the all-inclusive word to describe man and his dilemma. But you know, many of us are very confused, just like the Pharisees were, about what it means to be lost. Like I heard about a young preacher who came to his community, and he went on a visit one afternoon, and there was an elderly man sitting on the front porch. So he came up on the front porch, and he said, "Sir, I'm Reverend so-and-so, and I've come up today to see if you're lost." The young man says, "Well, I know, son." He says, "I've lived here 25 years. He says, no, that's not what I mean. I mean, I've come to see, are you a Christian?" The old man says, "Why, no, I'm not. Said, I'm a Smith. The Christians live five doors down." Preacher scratches his head and says, "No, that's not what I mean. I mean, I've come to see, are you ready for the judgment?" The old man says, "Well, I don't know." Says, "What is it?" Preacher said, "Oh, it could be today, could be tomorrow." The old man says, "Well, don't tell my wife. She'll want to go both days." Well, there's some of us here this morning that need to learn from Jesus, just like that old man needed to learn. What does it mean to be lost? What does it mean to need to be a Christian? And you see, the Pharisees, just like many of us, were religious people. They were churchgoers. And yet, they never did understand why Jesus came. They never did understand how God feels about the human race. And there are some of you, like the Pharisees here today, that need to learn from the great teacher. What does it mean to be lost? Are you lost? Praise the Lord, you need to get saved, son. Are you lost? You know, people get lost different ways. Now, let me just ask a question and try to answer it this morning. First of all, why are men lost? All right, Jesus tells us some stories. Why are men lost? First of all, some people are lost like a sheep. And he told the story of a lost sheep. Now see, a sheep is lost because it's aimless in life. A sheep is aimless. And the Bible says we're like sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. You see, a sheep has no central purpose in its life. A sheep just lives for its appetite. It follows its nose from one tuft of grass to another. It eats its way without any purpose. And then one day it looks up, and the flock is gone, the shepherd is gone, and he's lost. You know, it's not much of a compliment, friend, but the Bible calls you a sheep. And a sheep is the dumbest animal in the world. Because spiritually speaking, modern man is an ignoramus. He drifts through life aimlessly. And you know, the word aimless describes many people that I know today. Some of you sitting here this morning, there is nothing of eternity about your life. You have no purpose. You have no main goals in life. You're like a sheep drifting along. And the Bible says, if your life is like a sheep just drifting from day to day, you're lost, my friend. And for God to say that you're lost doesn't mean that you're wicked, doesn't mean that you're evil. You know, we get the idea that only the prostitute, only the homosexual, or the drug dealer, or the murderer is lost. That's what the Pharisees thought. Because Jesus was eating with sinners, outcasts. But Jesus wants them to understand that there are other kinds of people who are lost too. Some people are lost because they're aimless like a sheep. Not bad people, not good people, just purposeless people. Some people get lost like the coin got lost. Jesus told the story of a widow woman who lost a very precious coin. She only had 10, she lost one. Now the coin was lost not because it was aimless, but the coin was lost because it was useless. The coin was of no use to the woman as long as it was lost in her dwelling. Does the word useless describe your life? About a year ago I had a fashionable, popular Hollywood TV starlet. You've seen her on television many, many times. She said to me, she said, Barry, my life is useless. She said, I have popularity, beauty, wealth. I have everything that I thought I ever wanted, but I have no reason to get out of bed tomorrow morning. Now, that girl was lost because she did not feel like her life was of any real use to the human race. And because she had that sense of uselessness, she was lost. Because, you see, God says that He wants to put your life to creative use. Some people are just like a coin. They feel useless, and they're lost. Some of us get lost like the young son. Now, why was the young prodigal son lost? He wasn't aimless, friend. He knew where he was going. He was going to sow his wild oats. He wasn't useless. He went out to use what he had for the wrong purpose. He was lost because he was godless. He made up his mind that he didn't need his father. He didn't need God. He didn't need a relationship with his father. He said, I'm going to go out and get myself lost. Some people just choose to be lost. They make up their mind that they're going to do their own thing. They're going to go where the action is. They're going to live in sin. Some people shake their fists defiantly in God's face like a rebellious son. They go out into the world. He was lost because he was godless. Deliberate sin and rebellion in his heart. Oh, but let's not miss it this morning. Some people get lost like the brother who stayed home. The older brother, a father had two sons. In fact, this parable is really an illustration of the Pharisee himself. The older brother, he's the church member. He's the guy who never left home. He's the one who was criticizing Jesus. Now, why was the older brother lost? Not because he was aimless or useless or godless. He was lost because he was loveless. He had not one particle of compassion in his heart or his brother. When I first came to the Beverly Hills Church, many people in our congregation had difficulty accepting the fact that many nights I would go out on Sunset Strip and go up into the nightclubs and witness in the strip joints and out on the streets talking to the motorcycle gangs and what some people would call hippies. And we had some problems with it at Beverly Hills at first. It was their problem, not mine. I just went ahead and did it. But a family moved into our community, living up in the Hollywood Hills, and they had been visiting our church and were thinking about joining the First Baptist Church of Beverly Hills when a group of ladies from a Baptist church here in the valley came to see them and to invite them to come and join their church here in the valley rather than going to our church over on the other side of the hill. And these Baptist ladies said, well, we'd like to invite you to come to go to our church. And the lady who was from the Baptist family said, well, we've been attending Beverly Hills Church where Barry Wood is pastor, and we're thinking seriously about joining there. And one of the visiting Baptist ladies said, oh, you're not going to join that church. Don't you know that their preacher is a hippie? And don't you know that he goes up there on Sunset Strip into those terrible bins of iniquity. And don't you know that they have hippies in their church? And on they went. After they got through, the lady who had been visiting our church says, yes, I know all that. That's why we're going to join this church. But you know something? There are a lot of folks like those Baptist ladies, and I don't know who they were. I don't think they were from this church. Praise the Lord. But you know something? There are many people just like that Pharisee, and many people can never understand how God can love somebody that's not like we are. They can love someone who may dress a little differently, from a different lifestyle, a different culture. And that was what was wrong with the older brother. He never could understand how his father could love that young son. And he was lost because there was not one particle of forgiveness or compassion or love in his heart. My friend, you can go to church every Sunday. You can go through all the rituals of religion. And if you've never been touched by the love of God, you are lost. Just as lost as if you were in the pig pen with your young brother. The Pharisee is also lost. Well, let me ask you something. How do men get lost, anyway? I mean, if men are lost because they're aimless or useless or godless or loveless, how do men get lost? Well, you would think that modern man would never get lost. After all, we're so intelligent. I mean, if there's a wonderful God who is a heavenly Father, and He wants us to be sons and daughters, and He wants to bless us and not curse us, He wants to use us and not destroy us, why do men get lost? Now, let's listen very carefully this morning. There's somebody sitting out here listening to me this morning. You're lost, friend. But we don't all get lost the same way. And we need to understand that we don't all get lost the same way. Now, how did the sheep get lost? The sheep got lost through aimlessness. It just drifted away from the shepherd. You know, America is full of good, moral citizens who have never shook their fist in God's face like the prodigal son. They just drift away from God gradually and gradually. They drift away. They're not mad at God. They're not atheists, not evil people. But there are many people that just drift away from God. Somebody sitting here this morning, I bet you grew up in a strong Christian home. You had a praying mother. You knew what it was as a child to read the Word of God and to go to Sunday school. But as you've grown into your adult life and gotten married, and maybe now your children are raised, you have just gradually drifted away from God. You're not committed to God. You're not committed to His cause. You're not committed to His church. You're not committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you've just gradually drifted away. Well, my friend, it's a terrible thing to be lost, but that's the way some people are. And if the word aimlessness describes your life, just drifting away, you're lost. Young man who is a director and writer here in Hollywood a couple of years ago left Dallas, Texas and came to Hollywood to seek his fame and fortune. He became the youngest writer-producer in Hollywood at 23 years of age, making a fantastic salary. He achieved success immediately. He had not been in the city a year and a half till he lost his wife. He lost his faith in Christ. He lost everything that he had because he wanted to go Hollywood. He wanted to go where the action was. He wasn't a bad kid. He just came out here and just drifted away from his roots. One night, sitting up in a restaurant just off the strip with some of our young people in the Beverly Hills Church, he confessed. He says, you know, I came out here to get all this. And he says, I've left everything that I held dear. And he says, now I don't know who I am or where I'm going. He wasn't a bad young man. He just got caught up in the world and drifted away. Found himself hopelessly lost. Now, how did that coin get lost? Now, the coin didn't drift away. The coin got lost because of the carelessness of its owner. The coin got lost because of the carelessness of somebody else. Now, there's some people that get lost not because they drift away. There are some people who are lost because somebody else was careless with your life. Maybe you did not have a Christian mother or a Christian father. Grew up in a broken home. Never heard the Bible read in your home. Was never taken to church. There are thousands of Americans who are lost, not because they're rebellious, but because they never really had that opportunity to hear the gospel. Because of the carelessness of your parents or some misspent words, some misunderstood bitterness that came into your life, you're lost. I have a Baptist deacon friend in Oklahoma. I used to date his daughter when we were in high school. I went back to preach a crusade in my home church. His daughter had married an unbeliever, and this Baptist deacon wanted me to go talk to this young man who was my age. We had gone to school together. And I said, "Well, is James considering becoming a Christian?" And this is the deacon's son-in-law, James Bridges, and he said, "No." He says, "A couple of years ago, he was very close to being saved, but we had an evangelist that disappointed him." I said, "Well, tell me about it." Well, it seems as though James was coming to church regularly with his deacon's daughter, and one night when they were having an evangelistic crusade, he was across the street at a restaurant having a cup of coffee during the 7 o'clock choir practice. While his wife was in choir practice, he was having a cup of coffee, and the evangelist was sitting in the next booth. An evangelist and some member of his staff. About 7:20, the evangelist got up to go across the street to the church service, and as he got up, James was sitting there and he'd been listening to the conversation. As the evangelist got up, he turned to the staff member with him. He says, "Well, it's time for us to go across the street and give the Baptists a show." Something like that. Well, boy, James didn't go to church that night. He sat out in the car, and when the crusade service was over, he put his wife and kids in. He says, "That's the last time I'm ever coming to a Baptist church." He said, "All these preachers are in it for the money. It's just a big game, just a Marjo scene." And he's not been back. Now, my friend, there are many people just like James Bridges who are close to coming to understanding that God loved them and sent Christ to die for them, but somehow they got disappointed or hurt by the careless life of somebody else, and those people are lost. And that saddens me because it saddens God. But I want to tell you something. If ever there was a young man that ought to have grown up lost, I'm that young man. My mother and my father were not Christians. My dad drove a beer truck and drank nearly as much as he delivered. My mother was a barmaid. Praise God, they're both saved into heaven. My mother's still here, but she's on her way. Praise the Lord. But now listen. I could have, as a teenager, stood back and blamed my parents and blamed my youth, but God in His mercy showed me that He loved me, and I don't want to go to hell because of somebody else's carelessness. Do you? The coin was lost because of the carelessness of somebody else. Now listen. The prodigal son got lost because he chose to get lost. He became a godless young man, and he was lost because of godlessness. There's a drug pusher that I've been witnessing to for 3 years over near the Strip. I don't know how many times I've talked to him about Christ. He's about 42 years old, a commercial artist. Not a commercial artist, an artist. And I sat down while he was working there painting many an afternoon, and I've talked to him about the Lord. And this fellow sells drugs to every kid up and down Hollywood Boulevard, makes a lot of money dealing drugs, but he also is a very godless young man for other reasons. I asked him one day, I said, "Mike, what are you living for?" Now, Mike grew up in a strong Pentecostal home back in Arkansas. He knows about the gospel. And you know what he said? Now, he's 42 years old. He says, "Here's what keeps me young." He says, "I like to drive up and down Hollywood Boulevard to Sunset Strip and pick up these little 15, 16-year-old teeny bopper hitchhikers. And I find me a little girl who's a virgin. And he says, I like to break her into sex beautifully." He says, "That's what turns me on." Well, I never felt like breaking a guy's skull any more than I did that day. And I said, "Mike, I want to tell you something, son. If you don't get saved and get your life right with God, you're going to go to hell and fry like a sausage." Mike has no one to blame but himself for being lost. Mike is lost and he enjoys being lost. He enjoys peddling filth and drugs into the lives of people and killing young people. If ever a boy deserves to be lost and without God, Mike does. He has no one to blame when he stands at the judgment. He's lost because he's godless and he likes it that way. Some people are lost because of lovelessness, just like the Pharisees. They would never dream of becoming like the prodigal son, but there are moral, self-righteous people who go to church all the time who are still lost. You see, here's the interesting thing about the oldest brother who stayed home. Even though he never left his father's house, he never really knew his father's heart. He was further from his father than the young brother was in the pig pen, because he never understood how the father felt about his son. And there are many people in church that are in God's house that are lost in God's house because they don't know the Father to whom the house belongs. I say again, when I first came to the Beverly Hills Church 4 years ago, when I was a full-time evangelist, I came and preached a crusade. And on Tuesday night or Wednesday night of that crusade, I was not the pastor, but the church was considering calling me to be their pastor. So I wanted to show them just what a nut I was so they wouldn't be misled. Tuesday night, I went up on Sunset Strip with a fellow named Ebb, who plays on the Green Acres television show, Tom Lester. And we went up there and we invited every street kid we could find, every hippie type kid, to come to the Wednesday night fellowship dinner the next night at the First Baptist Church, Beverly Hills. Now, our little church only ran about 40 in Sunday school when I first came there. And on Wednesday night, they'd usually have about 20, 25 people there. Well, Tom Lester and I bought their dinner, and 27 bikers and street people and their gals came down there, motorcycles parked outside, and these choppers came roaring up, and the kids came clanging in their chains, and 27 hippie-type kids sat out at the Wednesday night fellowship dinner. Now, I've got to confess to you, that was the quietest fellowship dinner I've ever heard in my life. It was an interesting thing. I just wanted to see how the church people would react, and I found out. Businessmen sitting there in their suits and ties and all proper and prim, sitting across the street from some old hairy-faced guy, you know. And the kids were having a ball. We had five saved that Wednesday night. They were the only prospects in the building, those 27 lost kids that we brought, five saved. I wasn't even the pastor, but they were thinking about calling me to be the pastor. The next day, or that night, we got a telephone call over at my Holiday Inn in Santa Monica, where we were staying. And the man who called me was the guy who put me up in the Holiday Inn. He worked for the Holiday Inn. He called me up and said, "Preacher, I'd like to buy your lunch." I said, "Yeah." So he took me out to lunch and set me up for the kill. Bought me a great big steak. He says, "Preacher, we got a wonderful little church over here. Things have been going so smooth. We've got a wonderful bunch of people. Why you won't come in here and mess it up?" And I listened to this man for 45 minutes as the hate and the resentment and the bitterness just spilled out of his ugly heart. He hated, he'd have made a wonderful Ku Klux Klanner or a tremendous vigilante chieftain. He hated anybody who wasn't just like him. And he let it be known that there was no place in the house of God for prodigal sons. Now this man, Baptist though he be, I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt of 4 years of witnessing to him, is lost. I refuse to believe that any man can know Jesus and have a bitter, ugly, hateful heart like that. Don't you? I think the perfect evidence that a man has known Christ is that there will be a love for his brother. You're most like Jesus when you're loving people. Hallelujah. Lovelessness. Lost. All right, I've only got 2 minutes. How do you get found? How do you get found? It doesn't really matter how you got lost, friend. It's how you get found this morning. I wish I had time to tell you how wonderful God is in Luke 15. Did you know that the 15th chapter of Luke is the most beautiful picture of God anywhere in the Bible? Here Jesus tells them what God is like. How does God feel about lost people? He's like a shepherd. Oh, my friend, this morning, if your life is aimless, without any purpose, Jesus is the shepherd. And he wants to guide your life and give direction to your life like a shepherd. God is like that widow, seeking that which was lost. It was precious to her, the coin that was lost. My friend, you're precious to God today. God's like that widow. He really cares about you. He's like that shepherd seeking that one sheep that was lost. Your life is precious to God. God is like a father. Like a father seeking a lost son. Whether he's a lost godless son or a lost loveless son, God is like a father. And he wants you to be a son or a daughter. In fact, the only picture we have of God in a hurry anywhere in the Bible is when that old father in Luke 15 runs down the path to greet that prodigal son. In other words, that's the only thing that really turns God on. Don't think about it. God's seen everything. He's heard everything because he did everything. But the one thing that really excites God and excites the angels of heaven is when one who is lost decides, "I want to be found." And God rushes to you with his love, puts a ring on your finger, shoes on your feet, a robe on your back. God's saying, "You're my son, you're my son, you're my son." They strike up the band and the angels rejoice. That's how God feels about you. So how do you get found? You realize that God
wants to save you today. He wants to be your father. Are you willing to be a son or a daughter? You must admit that you are lost. You see, the problem with the older son in the story, he wouldn't admit that he was lost. Because of his pride, because of his proud, self-righteous heart, Jesus could not help him, and he could not be found. And the only person in this building today for whom God can do nothing is the person who thinks he has everything already. But if you'll admit that you're lost, no matter how you got lost, not bad, not evil, just lost, then today, if you'll reach out to get found and say, God, be merciful to me, I'm my kind of sinner, but I'm a sinner, and I want to be found. At that moment, God extends his hand to the cross of Jesus Christ where sins are forgiven, through an empty tomb where the Holy Spirit can come and enter your life. God will offer you salvation today.